Several weeks ago, Asher asked me to consider doing this tonight in an evening service. The words were already forming yes in my mouth when he said, and I want you to talk about on the subject of embracing God's forgiveness. And I thought to myself, wouldn't you rather have me talk about something easier like explaining the Trinity? I say in our second Saturday men's breakfast quite often that each of us has a story to tell. And some of our stories are just more colorful than others. Unfortunately, my story is pretty colorful. First Timothy 1:15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. I came to true saving faith in Christ in the midst of the worst time of my life, much like a lot of people do. I had been set outside my home, and at that time I thought it would be good to bring a Bible with me. It would look good, at least. In that time, I didn't know where to start, but I opened the book to Romans and began reading. After seven chapters, I stopped and I started again. Seven chapters in, again, I stopped. I started over. And somewhere the third time through, Christ broke through and brought me from death to life. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. But sometimes it's hard to accept and embrace that grace, this right standing with God, because of the memory of all that I've done and said is still there. Those times when I didn't just stumble into sin, I dove headlong right into it. Sometimes the smallest thing can trigger doubt and shame and guilt. It could be a place, a song on the radio, a word, or a look from someone I used to know. It turns my thoughts in on myself and makes me ask the question, how could he love me, knowing everything I've done? Do I really believe that Jesus loves me? If I'm being honest, there are a great many times I don't. How could he? When Jill and I got married, my wedding gift to her was a large river rock. Don't get too jealous, ladies. She got a rock. On it, I had inscribed the word believe. I told her, should she ever doubt my love for her, to go stand on that rock and believe it. Believe that I love her. Go stand on the rock. That rock symbolized not only my love for her, but the love the Father has for us, the rock of our salvation. When I'm in doubt, I need to go stand on the rock. Psalm 103, verses 10 through 12. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Many people, many well-intentioned people, will try to encourage me with the question, do you think the struggle you have at times is because you haven't forgiven yourself? Well, here's the thing. The Bible doesn't explicitly use the phrase forgive yourself or command self-forgiveness. Forgiveness in Scripture is primarily about God forgiving us and us forgiving others. I am, called to accept and to rest in God's complete forgiveness, to trust in His word, and to believe that what it says is right and true. What in the world do I believe the cross was actually for? My past doesn't define me. I've been made new. My life verse is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Several months after Christ saved me, I was sharing my testimony with a dear friend. And when I got to the part of my story where I couldn't get past the first 7 chapters of Romans, my friend was leaning back in his chair and he's just laughing. And I was getting a little pissed off because he was laughing at me. And I asked what was so funny. And he leaned forward, smiling, and very gently said to me, "You weren't ready for Romans 8:1. Well, what's Romans 8:1? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He was right. I wasn't ready for it. This was all the more confirmation to me that Christ's work was real in my life, that He was real, that I had been made new. Philippians 3, verses 13 to 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. To embrace Christ and His forgiveness is to trust that His sacrifice was sufficient regardless of what I've done or where I am, that the gospel is really true, that His death really did pay for my sins, that they have been removed as far as the east is from the west, and that I really am a new creation. Embracing God's forgiveness doesn't depend on anything I've done or that I'm doing. It's all about Him, what He's done, and resting in knowing that He who began a good work in me will bring it to completion. I'll close with this quote from Alistair Begg. If we are not preaching the gospel to ourselves every day, we will find ourselves trusting ourselves and believing in ourselves, which is a part of our fallenness as man. If I take my eyes off the cross, I can only give lip service to its efficacy, while at the same time living as if my salvation depended on me. As soon as you go there, it will lead you to either abject despair or a horrible kind of arrogance. I'm not my own. My life is not my own. I thank God that He has chosen to set His affection on this wretched sinner, and I will live my days in thankfulness and gratefulness in the truth that when He looks at me, He sees His Son.